670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Live at Flowery Branch, bringing you the latest on our football team, the Atlanta Falcons, as they get ready for Sunday Night Football. We're live inside the Ticketmaster Studios, and we got a lot to get to. Raheem Morris will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Would love to tell you exactly what time, but stay tuned all the show. I mean, just stay there.
3:20-ish, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. But what if it's 3:30 or 3:40?
Well, then hopefully people are hanging out with us the whole damn time. Today was kind of funny. We've been doing this new streaming podcast thing, right? What do you call what we're doing? What is that?
I'm not even sure.
What is this concept?
I don't even know what we're calling.
Anyway, but it's basically taking you behind the curtain of Dukes and Bell, and we were doing that today, and it was funny because we were talking about the Falcons and we're talking about the Braves and everything else. But it's funny because we get a real time in what people are interested in just by watching people drop in and drop out. It was kind of interesting.
So
we expect you, Carl, with all due respect, to listen to the entire 3 o'clock hour.
I agree.
Regardless when the coach is in.
Oh, that's the thing.
How dare you switch? What did you switch it to?
If he's in here at earlier than assumed, right, then we will certainly let you know. But practice is going on, and once practice is done, he will jump in here. We're also going to talk to Divine Diablo today. Looking forward to that conversation because he's coming here, head down, quiet, and just making plays. And for everything that we were concerned about potentially with our linebackers, this may end up being a strength of our football team, or at least one of them. Meanwhile, guys, today, Drake London, right AC joint sprain. Mike, what does that mean? And does that mean he will be ready Sunday night against the Vikings?
I guess Drake went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." Well, don't do that. So, I mean, it sounds to me like, we know he's a tough guy. That's why we're kind of surprised to see him come out of the game. I just literally texted my buddy Jimmy, and he goes, "Yeah, it's going to be about his pain threshold, pain management, and how he does and handles it during the game. But it's something that requires rest."
He's a killer. We know that. We know how tough he is. We need him out there. Look, I will not sit here and tell you today that if we don't have Drake London, Mike, this is a wrap. But if we don't have Drake London, this is a wrap. Because we need somebody to be able to stretch the field, especially if Darnell Mooney is not available. And right now, we do not know. And I'm just telling you guys, I'm not being a fatalist. Fact of the matter is, you start looking outside and Michael Penix is going, "Who am I throwing the rock to?" Right. You saw at the end of the game last week how it got convoluted. Can't go into the Vikings game where you're going to get challenged by Brian Flores and go, "Who am I throwing to?" So this is a big deal. I need Drake out there. And I'm not saying play him hurt. But if he's available, he's got to be out there.
Well, you and I both kind of eyebrows went up when Dave Archer said he'd be really surprised if they weren't both out there. Talking about Darnell Mooney and Drake London, and now we find out that, yes, they are, in fact, practicing. So now we'll see. Maybe does that mean there's a pitch count for Drake? And I hate to use that phrase, but perhaps they'll monitor it. And you know what it is, bro. Tape it up, shoot it up. But it's a guy using his catch radius and his athleticism that can't do it to a full extent because of that arm injury.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Coach says about this situation specifically. I don't know if he's ready to confirm anything because, again, it's so early in the week. Today's the first day of practice. Turn the page. Let's get ready for the Vikings. We'll see the Bucks down the road, but I don't know if he's able to confirm today. We'll try to get it out of him. Meanwhile, last year, guys, and we're just taking you back because it's weird in year to year where you play a team that you saw last season, right? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But last year, ironically, we went up to Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, it was supposed to be the come home. He was going to ball out. It was a great situation. And now he threw over 300 yards. But defensively, we were a mess. And if you go back, and I'm sure they have, Mike and Will,
right,
watch that tape and say, what happened? Remember how this was a game for Falcon fans? If you don't remember, this is a game. And all of a sudden, we give up a couple of big plays in the secondary, Mike. We made a special teams gaffe.
Yep.
And it
big
came.
Return. We didn't really talk about that on Monday. Big return.
Huge.
Flipped the field, put some pressure on us.
And all of a sudden, the game was a blowout. It was like, wait a minute. What? Like, if you turned away 20 minutes and you came back, you were like, wait a minute. The game was just tied. How are we down 3 touchdowns? And so that was what happened last year. We were in this game. I thought Cousins was playing well. And
remember, we didn't go for it on fourth down on the on our on the
decision.
Remember, we had talked about how aggressive Ra was, and he maintained that aggressiveness. I'll ask him about it because last year I thought that was a moment where, you know, if you're going to do it in week two, you should be doing it in week 16.
Well, he did it in week one. I mean, we went for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We did, but is he going to maintain? Because that was, I thought that was a moment where, you know, we don't go for it. They go right down the field on us, and again, the rest was not good. It was ugly as hell. I think with McCarthy, though, as we said, this isn't what you saw. Sam Darnold was in full swing by the time we saw them last year, and he was able to bankroll that for a new contract with Seattle. Obviously, it didn't work out for him later in the playoffs, but he was in his, I mean, kill zone with Justin Jefferson and all their receivers. Not sure about how J.J. McCarthy – do we get fourth quarter J.J. McCarthy or 1, 2, 3 quarters of Chicago Bears football that wasn't good?
Well, that's what I asked yesterday. As guys were telling me I was an idiot about calling out J.J. McCarthy because I think our guy's better. I'll stand on it.
Please. Penix is further down the road already.
But, you know, because of the way McCarthy won the game, everybody's like, oh, he's so good. Okay, if he does that the rest of the season, I'll be happy to crown him. But I'm not ready to crown his ass right now after one game and three bad quarters. That's where I'm at. I'm curious to see what we get as well. 404-726-0929. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys, inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. We will hear from Raheem Morris. We want to hear from you as well. But what we're telling you is there are some things outside of what you saw in week one that have to be cleaned up. And this is going to be a different kind of challenge than what we saw against the Bucs. We know the Bucs so well. This Vikings team is like, okay, they're talented, Mike. They got a deep roster. I think they got one of the best coaching staffs in the league. I really do, across the board. Forget about Flores. I mean, I think their head coach is really good. He's been with three different quarterbacks now, and all three have looked pretty damn good, and everybody's gotten paid. So, you know, O'Connell's a really good guy when you talk about how he deals with his team. And then I just feel like, Mike, you know, last season, if Penix is able to do some of the things we saw Cousins do in that game, I think we can have monster success, but it's going to really depend on whether or not we can stretch the field. Because if we can't, I really feel like they're going to be blitzing Penix all game long.
Right. Now, we saw some imagination with, you know, whether that was a design play or just simply Penix just dumped it off. Either way, Bijan in space is a good thing. Let's use that some more. Let's use Bijan screens. I want Bijan wide receiver screens. I want Bijan in the flat. I want Bijan wheel routes.
Bijan everywhere.
When the quarterback has time. You know, wheel routes take a minute to develop. But yeah, that's, yes, if you don't have Darnell Mooney at 100% and Drake Lennon certainly at 100%, there are ways to maximize other athletes, and that gets us back to Pitts. I thought, you know, maybe Penix had a little more tunnel vision on Drake in the first three quarters, and then once we lose Drake, Penix really came alive on that drive that should have been the game-tying field goal. Get Pitts involved, man. Pitts, as we said with Arch yesterday, maybe only one play where you said maybe he didn't take the route where it needed to go. I thought Pitts was open all day on Sunday.
It felt like it. And Mike, going back and watching some of the tape, man, there were some routes he ran, and if he wasn't open, he got open. And that's what we've been fussing about
right
for the last few years.
Use that athleticism.
Get open, dude. And I felt like there were routes where guys were on him, and then whoop, he shook him off, and all of a sudden he was there. I agree with you. 404-726-0929. Back at the studio, Big O. Can I hear Jake Matthews? Because the other thing we got to talk about up here today, and again, I don't know if they got it figured out, is who's kicking the ball on Sunday. Is it Young Wei-Koo? If he is, how much do you trust him? And I've told you guys right now, I don't trust him, but that's me. I'm not in this building every day, and I'm certainly not out there yesterday watching these guys kick, and today Ra's gonna see these guys, as he said, on the grass. Somebody is going to be kicking for us on Sunday. Jake Matthews was talking about the confidence level that he has in Koo. I think when you've been with the guy, obviously on your team, and you've seen him make big field goals, you feel like, hey, he's going to come through. Here's Jake talking about his confidence in our kicker right now.
I mean, yeah, I got all the confidence in him. Been with him for a while. Love the way he handles himself and the teammate he is. And, you know, he's a guy who's made huge plays for this organization. So, you know, definitely utmost confidence in him.
Mike, with all due respect, and we love Jake Matthews, I don't care if he's a great teammate. Make your kicks.
Yeah, man, you got to get things down to, again, clutch. You were clutch for 3 years, one of the best kickers. We said, wow, we got another one. The same things we said about Matt Bryant, we said about Koo. You guys have been listening to the show. Inside the 50, get Koo to kick it.
Kick it.
We always bogged down in the red zone, it seemed, the last couple of years. Other teams are not monkeying around. Moody with the 49ers, he gets cut.
He gone.
Hell, Aaron Glenn just cut Xavier Gibson after fumbling in the Jets' loss to the Steelers. He gone. So, I mean, do your effing job, as I like to say. You know, let's go. What are we doing here? And it's funny. I poked my head in the media center to say hi to the media. Hello, media. And we were joking around. I will not put their names out there. But they were saying, I asked, what did Coach say about the kicking situation? He says, yeah, they're going to have a competition this week. And I said, well, they should have had a real competition this summer, which got a bunch of nods and eye rolls from a bunch of the Atlanta media elite. So, yes, most people agree with us. I think the listeners agree with this. You had a problem, and you didn't address it in the offseason.
Yeah, I just don't know if it resonated as a bigger problem until it's
– because we thought Koo healthy would be back, but Koo healthy still has got the mental things because a 44-yarder he's got to make indoors on that turf.
All right, that's something whatever that is. We got to discuss that, and we will up here with Coach, and we got a lot to get to here. Daily downloads on the way. Braves last night lost to the Cubs 6-1. Spencer Strider, 2 runs on 6 hits. He struck out 8. Kind of looked like the old Spencer Strider, a little bit. I'm just saying, a little bit. Right. Something else we're going to dive into, and this is part of our pre-show that you can now be a part of on Twitter. It's Twitter Live. It is on Insta. It is on Facebook. It's everywhere, okay?
Twitch.
YouTube. But one of the things that Dede asked us, because Dede is going through some of the things we'll discuss on the show, and he was asking us, you know, whether or not UGA has passed the eye test as they get ready for Tennessee. And guys are coming at me because I earlier today, and you can go view it, okay? I said no. The quarterback hasn't. And as usual, and I think this is across the board for Dog fans, and look, if the Dogs blow Tennessee out, is anybody going to be surprised? It's what they've done the last 5 years.
Right.
But if they don't, you're going to get even more concerned with what we've seen in the first 2 weeks. So a guy who's named Just a Dad on Twitter says, man, they played 2 nobodies. They've shown very little. Just wait. I think Dog fans feel that way. Like, you can turn it on. Let me tell you what the Dogs did when they won national championships. They dominated everybody. There was none of this, we can turn it on and off when we feel like it, Mike.
Right.
Easy opponents, you crushed. Hard opponents, you embarrassed. I haven't felt that way quite yet with this version of the dog. So it's something we'll dive into today because as we count down to this matchup, and by the way, Mike, where are we going to be on Friday?
Hey, man, we're going to be at Twin Peaks. It's Eastridge, Tennessee. Exit right once you get to the state line, right before the 24-75 split. So whether you're stuck in traffic or just want to stop for a cold one before you get up to Knoxville, come by and see us, guys. So we're expecting a big crowd. We always get good folks. Last time, I said, one time we were there, we had our listeners from the northern environs, from Chickamauga to Ball Ground. We had folks from all over, from
Cartersville. The mayor showed up.
Yeah, we had the folks all over North Georgia who listen to our big antenna. So come on down and join us. Again, tomorrow we're going to be up 400 way in Commerce by the lake. Well, I guess maybe summer never ends, Carl, at Buffalo's Cafe. We're going to be right there. The Commerce edition, coming, I should say. Commerce is that way. We'll be in Cumming, Georgia, off of 400 on 20. That's tomorrow from 2 to 6 as well.
When we come back, what's Kirby got to say about Tennessee's quarterback, Joey Aguilar? It is not Nico Iamaleava anymore. And Joey has them off to a 2-0 start. He's played pretty well. Wait till you hear what Kirby says next.
670 The Score's Mullen Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullen Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Next. What to expect from the Dogs on Saturday. We're live at Flower Branch inside of Ticketmaster Studios. Raheem Morris, our head football coach, is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell. I'll tell you what I expect. I expect a hard fought.
What's your prediction?
Football game.
What's your prediction, Clubber? Pain.
Yeah. Clubber Lang. Yeah, exactly, Mike. I expect a hard-fought football game. But if you're going to tell me the Dogs are going to dominate, I'd love to see it. But I don't have that sense. Even in the years past, Mike, where they've been big favorites, you felt like, okay, they're just better than Tennessee. They're going to find a way. I still think Kirby's better than Josh Heupel. Don't get me wrong here. But I just haven't seen what I think I want to see to make me go, man, they're going to go up there and handle business.
Well, I mean, Josh has built an offense that, you know, I don't call it gimmicky because other coaches use that kind of style. But, you know, you can go and you can beat, you know, you got, you know, a similar type opponent, you can beat him. You know, a guy who's Alabama, and that's, you know, what made it so exciting for Tennessee fans to beat Alabama last year. Maybe Saban wouldn't let that happen. I don't know. But Georgia, you just feel like they've got athletes that can handle that. that. Other teams don't. But you look at what Josh has done. I mean, it's exciting. But at some point, like Mark Richt, you've got to break through and you've got to stop the losing streak. It's 8 games. You're always going for 9 years in a row. And that's what you and I were saying yesterday and off the air. You just feel that Kirby, like Nick, has built such a machine that, yeah, we've done nothing against two crap opponents. It's hard to gauge. But once we get up to Tennessee, boom, they come out of the phone booth. The S, in this case, a G for, I guess, super G-man. Anyway, they go out there and the Dogs do their thing. But as a fan, you just haven't seen anything to even feel that way just yet, do you? It's a very strange, you know, sort of preseason or the 2 games that ramp up to the SEC schedule.
Here's the fundamental problem. Even if you're telling me the Dogs are playing their second and third team guys, they weren't as dominant as you expected. And in years past, when those second and third team guys came into the game, there was no fall off. This is where the depth is talked about in college football, where you go, hey, we're still pretty good, but we're not like 3 or 4 deep at any position. So the talent level isn't the same from my first 2 5-star guys that are on the field versus my second, third, or fourth team. That's all I'm saying to you guys. I don't disagree. We haven't shown a lot.
But you can even argue, just interrupt for a second, even the starters didn't look great against Austin Peay. A much smaller offensive line.
Totally agree.
Marshall just turned over half their roster, 3/4 of their roster. You look the same against them.
I asked Connor Riley yesterday about whether I should be concerned, we should be concerned about, you know, Gunner threw the ball 34 times. A dominant performance is 15 of 18 for 250, Mike, and 3 touchdowns, and he's out of the game. Like, that's what you expect in that kind of game. He was throwing the ball like they were down. He was throwing the ball like they couldn't move the football.
And
at one point, they ran 5 running plays. Big O, didn't we talk about this, Day-Day? 5 running plays before. If you guys didn't see this, if you didn't watch the Dogs, you were like, it's Austin Peay, they're going to kill him. And couldn't get it in the end zone. And you're going, wait a minute, what the hell is going on?
Right. So whether Kirby's using this as simply a extreme scrimmage, you know, where they're trying to work on specific stuff, would Bobo call the game the same way? We talked about the Marshall game. They won't be going for it on the wrong side of the 50 on short yards against Tennessee, I doubt, right? But, I mean, against Marshall, you just feel like we're going to steamroll these guys. We're going to keep going for it. So that's why it's hard to understand just where Georgia is. Not saying they can't do all the things we just talked about and kick butt, but Tennessee looks like they're a little bit further down the road this year.
Yeah.
They've had a big atmosphere game at Mercedes-Benz, albeit against Syracuse, and when they played inferior opponent, they smoked them.
They smoked them. Here's Kirby talking about their new quarterback. His name's Joey Aguilar, guys. He went to App State, transferred to UCLA, and then when Nico went out there, he came to Tennessee. But he's got plenty of playing experience. Here's what Kirby said about him.
Went really efficiently. He's got great arm talent. He's a really good athlete. You can tell he understands the system. He gets the ball out quickly. He's been very accurate. You know, he's had some really well-thrown balls, a couple that they've dropped in crucial times. But he makes some good throws.
Yeah, I think he's going to be tested for the first time. I think it was Connor also said this is probably the best defense he'll face, you know, this season. And there's no debating that. But I want to see how this looks. And by the way, we talk about this, and I said I think it was Day-Day or Mike, is this Georgia team built to come from behind? Because, you know, this is one thing we said. Usually they have such game control where you're in control of the entire situation. You never have to worry about, okay, we're down 14, Gunner. Now you got to make some plays. Now these stud wide receivers we brought in. And that is something else that I'm curious about. What if they go on the road this weekend? Atmosphere is, woo, okay, you know what? They're a little unnerved, Mike. They're down 10 at the half. I think it's going to be an interesting test if that plays out that way.
Again, I think that Zach Branch and Noah Thomas and hopefully, you know, Dylan Bell and Kobe Young, these guys, especially Zach Branch, are going to blow doors because you just mentioned it, you know, Tennessee, they can potentially get up there to other teams. I don't think that happens against Georgia's defense. Vols are missing 2 starting corners, Ricky Gibson and Jermod McCoy. Both guys, one guy's out for an extended period. That's Gibson, upper body injury. The All-American is coming back with a torn ACL. So they're not even knowing when he's going to come back. They're saying maybe second half of the season. So don't you feel if you can protect Gunnar Stockton, boom. And we've got, again, if guys like Matthew Stafford are raving about Zach Branch, it's time to put him to work up there at Neyland.
Yeah, look, he's got stud, star, power, NFL kind of wide receiver stuff. The problem, though, Mike, is Gunner's been trying to be too perfect in some of these throws, which is why his numbers have not looked necessarily like they should.
So what does he need to do? Pull.
That's it. So, like, I agree with you. I think he can take advantage, and they can take advantage of those mismatches. But if you're trying to be too perfect, then you get caught up in your head about ball placement and when I should release it.
Right.
This is going to be an interesting game. One more thing from Kirby. We got plenty more dog talk coming along the way. We're live at Flyer Branch, guys, and as we said, plenty of Falcons conversation as well. Kirby Smart was talking about how you plan to play at Neyland. Didn't you talk about this in Guy Talk about the best stadiums or the noisiest
They're
stadiums?
They're saying, at least last year, the decibels, you know, they get the noise meter that they use at airports, and the Vols were louder than Jordan-Hare, were louder than all the other, even LSU last year, according to the nerds who were looking at the DBs.
Here is Kirby talking about how you plan to play there.
Your approach to your game planning is, you know, defensively and offensively, you have to think about that. And me being in this league for a long time, It plays a factor on the ability to execute when you're in an environment that maybe someone's never been in, and you have to be smart about what you're asking them to execute, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. Who can execute, who can block and tackle, and who can be physical.
Okay, and again, that could be silent counts, right?
Right.
All these things we talk about when you're on the road, the crowd, especially early. If you take the crowd, if Georgia comes out and they blow doors, right, it's 21-0. It'll be quiet.
I heard Randy McMichael say that. It could go from very loud to – I've seen it. Because
quiet.
I've been up there. I was some of those 98 games that were just magical when they won the national championship with T. Martin. It's like you feel like the building's going to just fall apart underneath your feet. But it's been a while since they've had that kind of a vibe sustained. Look, they're hungry for this. When you got an 8-year losing streak, Georgia going for 9. Same thing again. And Georgia's been on the other end of this. That's why I always think about Munson, the hobnail boot call, you know, where Georgia finally turns things around and Mark Richt makes a statement and Philip Fulmer's reign over the dog's ends.
It happens. And it's been happening a lot with Kirby at the reins. You know, when you talk about playing in these road environments, though, and again, this is their first SEC game, this team's first SEC game. You can prepare all you want, Mike, it's until you get in there.
You know, I heard them, Steakhouse was talking about it with Drew the other day. You know, yes, it is a neutral site games, but, you know, you're look at the games where you plug Gunnar Stockton in against Alabama, you know, against Texas at Mercedes-Benz.
Big games.
Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, those are huge atmospheres, but it's still, to your point, it's not a 95% hostile crowd, you know, at Neyland Stadium.
No, and even the SEC Championship, it was 50-50. I mean, honestly, I shouldn't say that. It was probably 70-30, right, more dog fans just because it's an easier trip. But you still had, you know, to your point, it wasn't everybody in the house is trying to boo you and right, they want you to lose.
It's not football time in Tennessee.
It is not. Hey, man, as we get to some other things that are going on, we're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the Daily Download. It is the health of Drake London, a big situation as we are monitoring this here at Flowery today. Right AC joint shoulder sprain. He is expected and has been expected to practice. They are both apparently on the field. I say both as in him and Darnell Mooney. But we're going to talk to Raheem about this and ask him what he saw today and how he feels about it. It's just one of those deals, man, when you talk about our team, everything else looks like it's lining up in place, Mike, but this receiver core is already kind of decimated early in the season, right? Darnell didn't play last week. If you're telling me in week two we got to go to Minnesota and Darnell and Drake are out, it becomes a big concern.
And as we said, I know we debated whether or not Cadarell Hyde should have or could have caught that pass. I think Michael Penix puts it on the spot. He does get his route interfered with. But, you know, Cadarell Hyde is just lower on the pecking order, even though he did win the game for you against the Bucks last year. Your moneymakers are Darnell Mooney and Drake London. And then it's Ray. You know, now Pitts should be up there. Pitts should be 1A, 1B. And that's why I really think Pitts can have some success. And this is where, especially if Flores is throwing some crazy looks at you on the defense, ball comes out quick. Quick hits. Get it to Pitts. Get the ball out. 1-2. You might argue that Penix is going to have as few seconds to get it out as he did against the Bucks up there on Sunday night.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I think this is something we will keep close tabs on, guys. And this may be, all right, because I don't think they're going to make an announcement. They don't have to. This may be, hey, we'll wait until Sunday to really let everybody know where this is. And, Mike, I'm fine with that because, again, you got to give the opponent, and in this case the Vikings, something else to think about. But my guess is if Drake can play, he will play. That's where I'm at on this. It is right, a big developing story, guys, or as I like to say,
a developing story.
Hey, man, coming up, our offensive coordinator said something that was so good about our quarterback. Wait until you hear it next.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I were just talking about these scams out here on the interweb. Be careful. You know, you get those crazy emails and stuff, right? And I just told Mike, like, I just got one that was basically like, pay your PayPal. I was like, pay my PayPal. But I don't know, man. How do people get scammed if you don't read this stuff or
don't
look at it, man?
I mean, I do think sometimes, you know, anything – first off, sometimes it's the font.
True.
You know, when something is all capitals and it just looks screwy or nothing's in focus, like it's something's been photoshopped. Like a message from FedEx, a package, you're going to be – you know, delete, immediately delete and block. I just told Carl – this was a scam a few months ago. I think it still goes on, where you'll get some area code – there'll be an international code, so there'll be two digits. So obviously it's not coming from America. It's like, your Peach Pass is expired. It's like, wow, I didn't know Peach Pass had an office in Istanbul.
How would you know?
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, just delete it. Don't even think about opening. But you're right, man. A lot of nonsense out there.
Hey, man, we're live inside of Ticketmaster Studios, hanging out here at Flowery Branch. Coach is going to come in here and join us next hour. They are practicing as we speak, getting ready for the Vikings. Guy just asked me, how are you feeling after watching the Vikings on Monday night? I don't know. What Vikings team we're talking about?
I mean, they looked like dog for the first three quarters and J.J. McCarthy. But I said to Carl after the game, it was like, it was almost like, I made it. I passed. You know, it's like, it was almost literally like a guy that was trying to, like, who's it? The girl trying to make the obstacle course. And that was just on the other night, so it's in my mind. And an officer and a gentleman. Yeah, that's the way McCarthy was being, like, pumped up by his teammates, Justin Jefferson, game ball from the coach. All of a sudden, that's why I said, damn. If he comes out of Chicago with his tail between his legs, I like our chances. Now he's feeling, gonna fly now.
He is.
Three touchdowns in one quarter is nothing to sneeze at.
No, he got his mental right. Get your mental. I don't know if his chicken's right, but he got his mental right. I'll say this. It does raise my level of concern only from the standpoint of once you have confidence, and our guy has it, right? We saw it Sunday. We've been telling you that how he operates. And I'm gonna read something to you from Zach Robinson today that I think really just solidifies whatever thoughts you might have about Michael Penix. But it does raise concern for our defense. Only if we're not able to get a couple of sacks, Mike, and put some pressure on him.
Right.
Hell, I could throw the ball if you don't pressure any quarterback in the NFL. We didn't get home last week like we wanted to. Well, getting home, by the way, is the phrase for getting sacks, okay?
Right.
So we didn't get home. If you allow him to continue to gain that confidence first quarter, second quarter, yeah, Mike, it raises my level of concern. Absolutely.
Right. So, I mean, and we talked about Pierce Jr. because all eyes were on Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker. They were situational. We'll ask Coach Raheem Morris in less than an hour, guys. He'll be inside our Ticketmaster studios here exclusively at Flowery Branch with Dukes and Bell. But, yeah, what he thinks about it because, you know, the metrics and the analytics, there's 162 baseball games. You and I were talking about it. You can look at 500 or 400 at-bats, and you can get trends, and you can see things. Okay, I'm going to work this or that against that hitter. When you only got 17 games and you've got a pitch count or you're only going a certain amount of times, it's hard for me to take that and say, okay, yeah, James Pierce Jr., he was got a great win rate. Well, he didn't get Baker Mayfield on his ass.
Correct.
Now, we did, as Dave Archer pointed out yesterday, we took the Bucs down from 400 points, or 400 yards, I should say, to about 240. So we had them down from their average. But we didn't get home when it mattered, when the game was on the line. Sorry, I'm hitting G-Money over here like I'm for emphasis. But no, man, we couldn't get home when the game mattered. So to me, that analytics doesn't give me anything. You know, I'm glad he's beating his man. It's not resulting in a sack. Unless we're going to go back to 2014 and now it's Mike Smith and sacks don't matter. Now, I understand. You can get the quarterback off the point.
Well, you want to make him uncomfortable. That because we weren't sacking anybody.
We made Baker uncomfortable. Yes, great. But we never got – when we needed to get him on the ground, we couldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Let me read this to you because this when Zach Robinson said this, and he's not lying, I was like, that's it. I've been searching for, like, what is it? Zach Robinson said, we have to play better around Penix. He's just a competitive, his competitive greatness, it's in him. That's what you saw on Sunday. Like, help him.
Right.
Give me some help.
Right.
Right? And it's weird because usually we talk about this in the sense of, like, basketball, where one guy can take a game over and the ball's in his hands all the time, Mike, and you go, hey, if I'm going to pass it to you, Paxton, I need you to hit this shot. Steve Kerr, I need you to hit this shot. That's what he's saying about Penix. His competitive greatness is just like, yo, we're going to make a play. If I come to you, don't screw it up.
Right.
And if I don't, I'm going to make a play. And that's what you saw. His finishing this quote from Zach Robinson, our OC, Mike. He says, some of those runs, I still don't even know how he kept his knees off the ground.
Right.
That was what was incredible. It was like, I won't be denied.
That's why, and I know it's a different type of athlete because Michael Vick was the generational talent, you know. But when you saw him levitate, for the guys, if you're Falcon fans, if you're young, you can look it up. He levitated for 5 yards. Both guys got tripped up, and both guys, like, Superman to the end zone. And it stayed off the ground. And Penix Jr. did the same thing. And he's a little bit taller than Michael Vick. But he was both the kind of thing like, wow. Because from the end zone, like, oh, he didn't get in. And they were like, holy cow, he made it. So that's the kind of stuff. And teammates, as we said, they love, they rally around that. And he may have to do more Superman stuff up in Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 404-726-0929. That's the phrase, guys. Competitive greatness. That I won't be denied. We are going to make this happen. And that is what it felt like Sunday, which is why it was so frustrating to lose. Because you were like, dude, he's laying it out on the line for us. Like, he's doing all this crap. Somebody catch a ball. Somebody do something.
Pitts, I mean, like, you know, we always talk about Pitts. Pitts was making plays. 2 minutes. That's the thing. Not every young quarterback can do the 2-minute drill.
No.
Penix did that for you. Should have done enough to beat the Commanders on that Sunday night game. Certainly did enough to hit Koo to kick that game tying field goal, put us into overtime, and then we'll take our chances from there. Right? And then who knows? Maybe Pierce Jr. does get there or Walker gets there.
Right.
Leonard Floyd, we haven't talked about him. I don't want Leonard Floyd to be Judon 2.0. It's just one game. So I'm not going to start throwing it down because I know Leonard Floyd is the consummate pro.
He is.
But we thought we were getting that with Judon last year. Hopefully he's got stuff left in the tank. He's going to get there.
Want to discuss this real quick because Andre hits us up. Find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and the radio shows. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station guys at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. We were talking about Drake London and his importance. And maybe I'm overstating this as I was talking about stretching the field. Like Mike says, sometimes we say stuff on this microphone. It comes out and you go, what the hell are you guys talking about? Andre, big fan of the show, says, fellas, Dukes, Drake London does not stretch the field. He's a possession receiver. Let me tell you what he is. He's your number one red zone target. Period. He says, at the end of this, Darnell is that guy that stretches the field. He doesn't have that kind of speed. What's up, Darnell? Jokingly with me. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. But when you take Drake out of the equation, Darnell is not even as effective as he can be because of what Drake brings to this offense. Guys, he is your number one wide receiver. Possession, however you want to define it, Mike. Possession, right. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Let me tell you when the game's on the line who Michael Penix is going to throw it to. Drake London.
That's the guy he's got the chemistry with. That's the, like we talked about Julio. You know, so I guess Julio was a possession receiver then too. Because Julio
Come
made tough.
Now.
No, I'm dogging out the caller or the texture because Julio did a lot of like moving the chains and then he would do the vertical stuff. Julio did everything. Julio would make the tough catches. You know, when he wanted to, not when he's taking every other play off. You know, the last year before you know he got his contract extension when it was like Julio's catching a blow. But I mean, in his prime, Julio could do everything.
I can't stop you on this. We have had
facts.
This yes because
facts.
We've had this conversation. Like they. Don't you feel like, and again, revisionist history, Falcon fan,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it feel like Julio should have led like the league in touchdowns for like 8 years?
No.
Seriously.
Yep.
I sound like Jerry Jones. But seriously.
But then we get the Julio guys go, well, that's on Matt. And then you go to Matt people, that's on Julio. So, all right, well, then maybe we should have practiced more. Oh,
where
that couldn't
is
do that.
Julio.
But yeah.
I don't want to ruffle any. You know what? That's ancient
no,
history.
No, it's too late. You already did.
It's too late.
You
it's
already
too
went
late.
There.
No,
you just said when he wanted to play. I heard what you said.
At the end. He's banged up a lot because he left it all on the field.
Why are you bringing up old
Yeah. No, man. Let's get Julio on the show. That's right. He doesn't do radio. Maybe do a podcast. Maybe we get him on that podcast we're doing now.
Why are you bringing up old
Hey, you were just trying to make a comparison.
I'm just saying, if you tell me Drake London's not a deep
threat. But you did go there.
But Julio could do it all. But Drake's longest pass last year was 39 yards. To the caller's point, Texture's
yes.
point.
Yes.
You want to have the home run ball. Jamar Chase had a –
But guys, explosive plays are defined as more than 20 yards.
Right.
Okay? So that's an explosive play. When you start talking about – I get it. In our heads as fans, we go, oh, it's a 50 or 75-yard play. guys, you move the chains 20, 25 yards, that's an explosive play. So
right.
Either way, I get it. Andre, appreciate you listening. But my whole thing with this is, and I maybe I'm saying it inaccurately as I'm stressing to you the importance of Drake London, how he makes this offense roll. And
right.
Because to your point about if you see him as a possession receiver and I see him as more, he opens up everything else for everyone else.
But it's funny, we talked about to the Texas point about Darnell Mooney, the big stat, the
What's
big
up,
play stat, which is a new metric for the NFL. Everybody's got to create these new numbers every
it's
year.
It's crazy.
The big numbers. Justin Jefferson had 28 bigs. George Kittle had 21 bigs. 21 for Darnell Mooney.
Big explosive plays.
Big explosive plays.
That's right.
49 yards was the longest for Darnell Mooney. So that's, I mean, I understand the argument, but I see certainly Drake London is more of a possession receiver.
Yeah.
That's a backhanded compliment.
It really is. I mean, honestly, because what if I told you he had more touchdowns than anybody else in the wide receiving room, and you're like, well, what does that matter? Well, that ain't a possession receiver. That's a guy in the red zone that is my number one target.
Right.
And I feel like he is the most trusted target on the outside. Although, Mike, one of the reasons this whole Darnell Mooney thing started is because I felt like Kirk Cousins had a chemistry with him last year, which we saw early in the season. Obviously, it fell off with everybody.
And right, speaking of the touchdown numbers, Ja'Marr Chase was heads and shoulders above everyone with 17 last year. But just bringing it back to this Vikings matchup on Sunday night, Justin Jefferson at 10 touchdowns. We got Drake London with 9. Mm-hmm. Jordan Addison, who won't be able to play Sunday, 9. So they're missing some guys.
I'm kind of happy about that, by the way.
Two.
I'm kind of happy.
One less thing for our guys to have to worry about out there. But that complimentary football, hopefully the finish rate, getting home, because I love the numbers. But to me, that's why when I had our rant, Carl and I got into, and we were talking about analytics, because one guy hit me up on the text, Mike, you just don't understand. And like, no, I think analytics serve a purpose. The sample size in baseball is much greater than football. But when you're talking about exit velocity and it's going directly to a third baseman or a center fielder, it doesn't help me. I don't give a crap. You know, I don't even mention it. No, yes, I get it. If you hit the ball harder, the odds are it'll go where someone isn't.
Right.
So I understand the logic behind it. But to sit there and use it as chapter and verse, who cares? I don't. So again, to say that, you know, we got really good finish rate or we got these guys, no, they didn't get to the quarterback. So when I hear that James Pierce Jr. was better than Mykal Williams or Mike Green, who we both talked about.
Pressure rate. Yes.
Okay, pressure rate. You moved Baker off the spot for three quarters. When the game was on the line, you didn't get there. So it's empty calories. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. Look, I like to call it, I like to these are those numbers that
you can bend them any way you want to make it sound like we're almost got there.
Yeah, but these are the numbers that his agent won't be using in a contract negotiation.
Correct.
Okay, that's where I'll go.
How many sacks did you have? No, but.
Correct. Yeah. Did you know? Because this is something the Falcons sold us on when they drafted him. He had the highest pressure rate in the SEC last year. Right? So what they're telling you is he's always in and around the quarterback.
Right.
And that is a thing that we needed to improve on. But at the end of the day, like, you're not going to any team. Micah Parsons got $188 million, not because his pressure rate, because he gets 12-plus sacks a season.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like Bosa was negotiating pressure rates. He was negotiating sacks.
So I feel you.
No, again, and as we also like to say, we don't get into absolutes, because the two things can be true. He was better than those other rookies, and that's great.
Yes.
But
I
need sacks.
For me, the thing I wanted to point out, though, about James is when people were like, dude, I'm not seeing James, or I where's he at? It doesn't mean that guys aren't doing their job. And that was the thing for me, like, this is the part of the tape. If you just solely look at that and you see him, he's doing his job. And as a matter of fact, he's doing it at a high level. How good, Dukes? Well, he was better than all these other guys. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to point it out. But I'm with you about finishing. Like, at the end of the day, it don't matter.
And look, we'll ask Coach about, you know, hey, it seems like at least the nerds say the pressure rates were there for Jalen Walker and for Pierce Jr. Do we get enough pressure from the interior of the line? Something you and I were talking about with a listener yesterday on Twitter. We don't say X. Talking about, hey, what is row your boat doing? What about Onyemata? Are they creating that pressure, which is going to allow those guys to get home?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
You know, really, for me, man, stats are for losers, man.
Ross,
I hear you, brother.
Stop. Well,
me too.
He'll probably say that today as we talk about pressure rate. Then he might not.
I will ask Coach, because they get the, you know, Squidbill always, you know, you see that 22 film that I get to see and you don't see. You know, the 22
film. Is that
film.
How he said it?
No, I'm kidding. I don't obsess that.
Let me tell you what. Mm-hmm.
I could hear him say that in his voice. But, I mean, certainly you can see things on that film that maybe we can ask Coach about how the whole D-line functioned and what he thought.
Coming up. You didn't pay him. He left. Well, you traded him. So let's bring in an old head and see if we can sign him and maybe help us get some pass rush. Mm. Who are the Cowboys meeting with today? Part of 4th and 1 coming up next.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.